This is MSO News Sports. I am Bill Newell, and we are joined by Leah Cole Allen, who is running for lieutenant governor in Massachusetts, resident of Danvers, longtime resident here on the North Shore, or lifetime resident here on the North Shore. Leah, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, I guess the first question is, you're a mother of three, and how did you get interested in running for lieutenant governor?
So I'm actually a mother of two, three and under, so it feels like three. But let me give you a little background about me. So I'm a registered nurse, a former state representative. I'm married to a union elevator mechanic out of Local 4, Boston. And when I ran for office the first time, I was running against then-Governor Deval Patrick's huge tax increases that he wanted to levy against the people of Massachusetts, because at that time a lot of reports were coming out about all of the waste of taxpayer dollars coming out of the state house. There was agencies that couldn't account for millions of dollars, and then yet they wanted to raise money on the people of Massachusetts. So that didn't sit well with me, because at the time I was working at a nursing home doing 16-hour shifts, trying to pay off my student loans and pay off my car. And I thought, no, if I have to live within my means, so does the state government. So I ran for state representative in Peabody. Born and raised in Lynn, I graduated from Lynn Public Schools, but then I later moved to Peabody, and that's where I ran for state rep. I won my race in a special election, and then I went on to win re-election the following year. So I served in the state legislature. I served with Jeff Deal, who's running for governor, and we worked on a number of issues important to the taxpayers, including stopping the automatic gas tax that was tied to inflation. And that was something that would have made the gas tax go up every single year without ever a legislator needing to take a vote on it again. And we knew back in 2014 that was a bad idea, and that was before we even had any idea that inflation would be what it is today. So I can only imagine what we'd be paying for gas. So really proud of that work and a number of other things. But when I left politics, I went back to my nursing career. I got a job at Beverly Hospital, worked there for almost 5 years, got married, started my family. And then when the pandemic hit, I treated COVID patients on my floor, and I was pregnant with my son at the time, with my second baby. And I worked throughout the pandemic while pregnant when there was no vaccine available. And then the government mandates came out when I was out on maternity leave, and I was told I couldn't return to work unless I received the COVID shot. And I'm not anti-vaccine, just want to make that clear. I am just against these particular shots because I think that they've been untested. I'm not comfortable with the safety profile on them. And so I refused to take it. And because of that, I was let go from my job. So in the midst of all this, the pandemic had opened my eyes to the fact that the government was closing small businesses and saying that those businesses were not essential, even though they must have been essential to the people who ran them, because that's how they provide for their family. And they were letting Walmart and Target stay open. So I thought that was extremely unfair. I didn't like the mask mandates, especially for our kids in school. I think those went on way too long. The poor kids were wearing masks long after all of the mandates had ended for everybody else. And just the overreach of government when it came to declaring this health emergency. Your rights don't get suspended just because the government declares an emergency. So all of these things made me want to get involved again. I saw Jeff Deal was running for governor. He was against the vaccine mandates. He vowed to rehire all the state workers who lost their jobs due to the mandates and fire everyone who thought that was a good idea. So we've been traveling all over the state. We're getting a great response from people. I think the pandemic has really changed the dynamic in Massachusetts for a lot of voters, and they want to see a government that's going to stand up to protect their rights and make sure that it's working in the best interest of the people. Mm-hmm.
We'll have some links up on our website to your website, where some of the content is regarding some of the key issues that you're discussing. You kind of are, obviously you're not just touching it. You're emphasizing the freedom piece. You have a tab on freedom, if you will, in your policies on your website. So tell me more about that. You've kind of already touched on it, but I thought this would be the right time to follow up on that piece.
Yeah, thank you. So, Bill, the thing is that we were entering kind of a slippery slope. Okay, we had vaccine passports implemented in Boston. The mayor of Salem, who's also running for lieutenant governor, she implemented vaccine passports in Salem. So there were times that my friends wanted to go out to brunch, and I told them I couldn't go to Derby in Salem because I didn't have the right paperwork. And that was just something that seemed so un-American to me. That was reminiscent to me of you know, Germany at a time when they were asking people to show their papers. And I think that we need to be very careful on what we allow as far as the government encroaching on our privacy, on our health choices, and basically telling us what we can and can't do, whether or not we follow the orders that they want us to follow. So freedom is a huge part of why I'm doing this. I think a lot of people felt that they were coerced into taking the COVID vaccine when they didn't necessarily feel that they needed it or that they even wanted it. But they were faced with a choice, get the vaccine or lose your job. And I think a lot of people were very upset by that. And that's kind of what we're running on to make sure that these people have a voice.
Well, let me transition to government accountability, another one of your policy statements that that is of interest to you. Tell me a bit more about government accountability.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, we have the government that is implementing these mandates, for one, and at the same time, the CDC has recently come out and said that this basically is no more distinction between vaccinated and unvaccinated, because it's coming really to light now that these vaccines aren't even effective. They haven't stopped the spread. They haven't stopped the transmission or people getting COVID. People are still being hospitalized all the time now with COVID. And yet no one has been held responsible for the fact that they destroyed people's lives. They destroyed people's retirement. A lot of people who were forced out of their jobs were so close to retirement and had worked all their lives for their pensions and things that they had earned in their retirement, and they had to kiss all of that goodbye because they wanted to make their own personal medical decisions. And it's time that that people who were in charge of implementing these decisions are held accountable for that. I mean, businesses were closed. 40% of our small businesses in Massachusetts closed under the pandemic and haven't reopened. These are not just businesses on paper. These are people's livelihoods. The people that they employed were also affected. I mean, at some point, these consequences need to be addressed. And there were people making these decisions who weren't looking at any other data except what was specifically coming down from the CDC, although there was other data available. They were making these decisions that, like I said, have these long-reaching consequences, and it's time that people are held accountable for that.
I want to follow up on one more thing. I know that you take issue with some of the climate bills that have recently passed at the State House.
Yeah, so I just feel that this is a very important subject to bring up right now. Governor Baker recently signed the most recent climate bill, although he had reservations about it, but for some reason he signed it anyway. And that is because, although I think that we need to continue exploring mixed energy, because obviously we want to make sure that we're taking into account our planet and the future and all of that, climate change, but at the same time, we can't be ramming through these bills without, again, thinking about the unintended consequences. So the thing is that the people of Massachusetts can't be expected to shoulder the onus of these bills while we're trying it out. So one of the portions of this bill was that by 2030, I believe, there will be no more fuel-powered vehicles allowed to be sold in Massachusetts. So it will be electric vehicles only, which, as you probably know, these vehicles start at $60,000 or more. And although the bill says that there will be rebates in there, it's one of those unfunded mandate type of things. They don't list where the funding is going to come from, and there's a lot of vague language in there that isn't specifically enumerated in that bill. So it can be left up to each administration to kind of implement it the way they interpret it. It's just a very gray area, and I think it's going to cost a lot of money for the people of Massachusetts, as well as they're piloting in 10 communities that they won't be able to use any fossil fuels to build new construction. And we're talking about right now the housing crisis. There's a lack of affordable housing. And to put these types of measures in place, it's kind of like they're talking through both sides of their mouth. They want to say that they're going to make housing more affordable, but then they're going to increase the cost by dictating how this new housing can be built. So it's definitely something that we need to keep an eye on, because I think that a lot of this legislation is not necessarily going to do much for the environment, but it's definitely going to bring in more government control, and it's going to make a lot of green firms a lot of money. And that's really what it boils down to.
Leah, I want to touch on maybe a couple of other issues if we could. Let me ask you about the MBTA, transportation, those kinds of things. You know, for our listeners, we're recording this on Friday, so there, by the time people hear this, there could have been another MBTA mishap or two over the weekend. But tell me, what are you thinking about with the MBTA?
Well, it's obvious that there's been decades of neglect and mismanagement at the MBTA. So I think we really need to get to the bottom of who is managing the MBTA. Are these people qualified? Are they people that got the job through a patronage position? Or do we need to bring in people that have a better understanding of professional transportation and how to run it? We need to make sure that we're looking at the money that we're spending. Right now, the pension fund for the MBTA is a huge issue. And I'm not saying that we want to cut pensions for people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that right now, it's just unsustainable. We're paying out every month more than what the MBTA is bringing in, and eventually the taxpayers are going to have to bail that out. So we definitely need some management at MBTA that knows what they're doing, that can prioritize these safety upgrades and these maintenances. And like this, it just goes back to government accountability. We need to hold people accountable for not doing their jobs. And that's something that Jeff Deal and I would be committed to doing.
All right, let me ask you this one. Let me ask you another big one. Education. What is front and foremost on your mind on education?
This has been a huge issue on the campaign trail. Parents are really unhappy with the way that the public schools have been performing. And it started under the pandemic when they kept kids out of school with the remote learning for so long, and the teachers were really pushing back on going back to in-person learning. And parents were trying to show up to the school board meetings, and they were getting kicked out or shut down, or they transitioned to Zoom so that they could just mute their microphones. So it's been a huge issue. Jeff and I have recently unrolled a plan to expand school choice in Massachusetts. I think that it's important that parents get the option to send their kids to a school that works best for them. I mean, it's pretty clear that people in Massachusetts are really unhappy with the product that our public schools are delivering, because homeschooling in Massachusetts has increased from about 3% to about 11% since the pandemic. So what we would propose is that the money follows the child, and that way parents have more of a choice when it comes to where their kids are learning. And definitely we want to make sure that parents have more of a voice in what their children are learning. I think a lot of parents saw some of the curriculum that they didn't think was appropriate for their kids. So definitely we want to make sure that parents have a voice in their kids' education, and that we're focusing on academics and not so much on the social issues.
So kind of wrapping it up, looking back at the campaign and what you have to do. So I imagine you're going full speed until the primary, which is Tuesday, September 6th. So tell me a little bit more about the campaign and what's ahead for you in the next week or two.
Yeah, so we are just traveling all over the place. Jeff and I have kind of been splitting up, campaigning to meet as many voters as possible. So you can find out where we are if you are interested. LeahColeAllen.com is my website, or JeffDeal.com is Jeff's. And it will tell you where we're going. We're going to be at the Haitian Food Festival in Malden on Saturday. And then I'm actually going to Lynn, to their Republican cookout, as well as the Fisherman's Feast. We're going to be all over the place. And you can follow what we're doing. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, if you like what I'm talking about, if you don't agree with the direction Massachusetts is going in and you want to see, you know, us move back towards more constitutional values, I encourage you to check us out and get involved, or at the very least, just spread the word.
And we do have all those links up on our website, to your website, or on this post to your website, Leah. So, Leah, I'll leave you anything else that you wanted to mention that I didn't ask you about or share with our listeners at this point.
If people are undecided and they plan to vote in the Republican primary, I recently had a debate on WBUR, and that's also up on YouTube and up on my Facebook page. And I'll have another debate on August 24th on the Howie Carr Show, if anybody would care to tune into that.
Sounds good. Well, Leah, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck on the campaign, and hopefully we can talk again.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Leah Cole Allen with us, Republican candidate for lieutenant governor. Again, the primary is Tuesday, September 6th. And I'm Bill Newell here on MSO Newsports.com.